kick off our fall season. In our worship service, and we celebrate the work of God, and in through the lives of this church. That's what we're doing today. We come together on Sunday to worship God with a heart of gratitude for the life that we have in Christ, obviously, and the God's goodness in growing us in our relationships with Him. And one of the ways this growth happens is through the ministry here at Living Word Fellowship Church. That's how it works. That's how God has designed it. This is how God designed it, that as we, as the body of Christ, the church family, interacts, it would be Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, as each part, does its part, all those kind of things. God grows, matures our lives in the all aspects of Christ, whether it's through the study of God's word or serving or discipling or loving each other throughout the year. As we, God matures us, as we focus on God's ministry, we grow in our faith. And our relationship with God and our relationship with others grows and matures and becomes more Christ-like. So today is grace. It's all by grace. It's the grace of God to work in our life that brings this about. This is just us embracing the things that God wants to do, desires to do. And by His goodness, by His unmerited favor toward us that we never earned or deserve, God changes our lives, grows our lives, matures us and deep, rich relationships, and then through the ministry of the church, salvation happens. We share Christ, and sanctification happens. That's what's going on, and so that's what today's about. That's what today's service is really about, and as we look at what the Apostle Paul wrote here in the church family to Philippi, we will see Paul is expressing his joy over their efforts to serve in the Lord's church. So our ministry celebration focus today is going to be joy. That's a good one to focus on, isn't it? Such great joy to be a part of God's church and be part of the ministry going on. So that's going to be really our focus, is the ministry celebration with joy. Much joy here in this church family. So let's begin, and we'll just read this text, and then I'll go from there and just kind of guide us along. Paul writes, chapter 1, verse 3 through 11, listen to what he writes. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Because, or for, it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense of and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, he says, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Wonderful passage, great passage. And Paul writes here this passage on joy. We most of us understand that Philippians is a book on joy. It probably gets a heading on that a lot. But so we see here in our text, there's a joy of remembering, there's a joy of participating, a joy of perfecting, and a joy of affection in the ministry of the church. There certainly is here. There's certainly a joy remembering this last year and all the things that have went on and people. I know some people that came to faith in Christ. I know some people that God has worked mightily in their life to work out some things in their heart and mind. I know that God has grown and matured us through the ministry going on here. I know that some youth have really grown in their walk with the Lord. I know that God has comforted us and cared for us through some really difficult things and challenging things. And I know we've embraced each other in the midst of those things and been right there, right by each other's side in some things that are very the life of the church. It's what it is. It's what God meant it to be. It's His design. There's great joy in it all. And so as we would all agree, a lot of our joy comes from being part of the Lord's church, doesn't it? It's why we struggle some with those that don't participate or embrace the church, that kind of thing. We know what's going on in their heart and mind is they're missing some of the things that God has for them. And just an important aspect of the church. Need to kind of grab my thoughts. I don't go into a whole message on it all. But let's look at the joy of remembering. We'll start with there, verse 3 and 4. Look at it with me again. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Now, he uses you all a lot. I guess it was his Kentucky side writing then. That's what I always tell Tom about, But when we think of the ministry of this last year and this ministry coming up, we remember all the serving in so many ways. I want you to ponder on that. Remember all the serving in so many ways. I mean, sometimes we don't give recognition to it. We don't recognize that there's all those Sunday school teachers teaching the kids and adults. We don't recognize people are out there setting up the things for us to have the thing going on. We don't recognize the service that goes on, that they were painting a building yesterday, and you know, and all the different kind of things, and all the groups, and all the love, and all the care. But I want you to dwell on that a moment. I want you to think about all the serving in so many ways by so many of us. The truth of the matter is joy is a good word for the response, isn't it? It's a good word for the response. There's a joy, an inward joy that comes from the Lord, knowing that, you know, in the body of Christ, the church family, this is what it is over this last year. Lots of joy in remembering what has taken place this last year. You know, this church that the Apostle Paul is writing to gave them so much joy in Philippians 4:1. He identified them as, by calling them, my joy and my crown. That's an identifying mark here in this church family. It's our joy and our crown. This is the joy that God gives the people of God to have a body of Christ. We find much joy within this church family. One of the most joyous ministries we have throughout last year is the nursery ministry. Wouldn't you all agree? A lot of joy in the nursery ministry. If you've been over there lately and you've seen we have a lot of children, a lot of babies and that kind of stuff. A lot of joy going on there. A lot of crashing and falling and a lot of... And so we're going to begin with that in the sharing. The leader of the nursery ministry, Lynn Mock's not here, but as I talked to her, she said, hey, I want to do it, though. I could, you know, she can't be here today, but she made us a video. You guys ready back there to show the video? Lynn Mock has a video for us. She wanted to encourage us in the ministry of nursery. We'll begin with that.
Hello, good morning. My name is Lynn Mock, and I get to share with you about the nursery ministry. And you get to hear about the nursery ministry, so how blessed are we right now? So, me as a mom with young children, I would get to come in here and get fed, praise the Lord, and fellowship. And then when I would go over to the nursery and pick up my kids, who was in there, but my brothers and sisters in Christ, who were loving and caring for my children. So they were the hands and feet of Jesus, not only to my kids, but also to me. And so somewhere around that time, someone asked me, since I was benefiting from this ministry, if I would be willing to serve in this ministry. And I said, absolutely, I want to be in there so that another mom can be in here, right here, worshiping, praising the Lord, getting fed, and fellowshipping. And just like I gotten that opportunity, I wanted other young moms to be able to have that opportunity. So since we're talking about the nursery, I could just talk at you, or we could go check it out. Let's go. So here we are at the babies, age 0 to 2. So let's come in and take a look and see what we do. So we've got some cubbies and some hooks for those diaper bags to go on. We can hand this baby off to some loving arms of an adult volunteer, as the parents sign in the baby, as they always do, right? We like to kick our shoes off when we come in, just to keep things a little bit cleaner. And look at all this great stuff we have. We have this climbing mat. We have books. We have toys. All kinds of things to keep these kids entertained, as well as our kitchen. And they really like to cook some good stuff up for our adults and even some of their friends. Also like to look out the window and see what's going on out there. Sometimes these babies, they are hungry, and we like to feed those babies, so that's what we do. And then we may burp them, and then sometimes they get sleepy, so we put them to sleep. But sometimes stinky diapers do happen, so then we come over here, and we'll change that diaper. Lickety-split, and get them back up and playing in no time. But sometimes we do some comforting, because sometimes those babies just like to cry because babies like to cry. And that's how we do it here in the babies.
And here we are at the toddlers, ages 2 to 4.
So let's come in and see what is going on in here.
After you sign in your toddler, of course. But you already knew that, right?
Come this right this way. So, we have books to read. Lots of good books. Some Noah's Ark, some blocks and different things. We have our whole section of baby stuff with some beds and strollers. Lots of fun. We also have our kitchen area, which they like to cook up a lot of good stuff for. For me, when I'm usually in here, I like a little mac and cheese and maybe a little juice. That's really pretty good. So at some point, the really popular thing to do is sit around a table and have some snacks. And usually the volunteers will read a Bible story to them, will pray and thank God for the snacks. And the snacks are just right over here. And usually we like to ask them, you know, do you like the animals or the circles? And let's not forget about the playground outside. Kiddos love that. Get their yayas up. After coming in from outside, usually we like to get their hands washed up. Usually that's snack time. But we also just put up our new bulletin board that has the fruit of the Spirit. So if a kid is having some trouble, maybe not being kind, maybe not sharing, that we can give some biblical guidance, starting, you know, when they're coming in here at age two. Does, you know, God want us to be kind? Does God want us to be loving? Does God want us to be patient? So some good reminders for everybody about what we need to be producing. We're always looking for more adult volunteers and youth helpers. So for the adult volunteers, we like them to only have to serve about once every 3 months. That ends up being about four times per year. But sometimes, like right now, we're a little shorthanded, so sometimes they have to serve twice per quarter. Currently, we have about seven couples that serve in the nursery ministry, and so that's a neat way for husbands and wives to be able to serve in a ministry together. It's also neat for the kids to be able to see men serving. But we realize that that doesn't always work for every situation. We also have about 27 women who serve, and those are from grandmas all the way down to just marrieds, and that's a really great way for them to get to know each other and serve, and also get to know the kids and the families of our church.
If you'd like to volunteer in the nursery as a youth or even adult, we just have a little bit of paperwork for you to fill out, and it's pretty painless. So you can see me when I'm at church, or you can also see the church office.
And I just want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for all that you do to serve in this ministry. There are so many people week in and week out every Sunday that are serving in this ministry. That's nursery council, that's the monitors, the volunteers, and the youth helpers. We are so appreciative of all that you do. So thank you. And also thank you to the parents for bringing us your sweet children and letting us love on them. So with that, I'm going to end with Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. Some parents have brought their children to Jesus because they wanted Jesus to bless their children. The disciples didn't want them bothering Jesus. Well, Jesus rebuked the disciples and told them, "Let the little children come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And then in verse 16, it says that Jesus took them in his arms and he laid his hands upon them. And he blessed them. And so thank you, parents, for letting us hold your children in our arms, lay your hands upon them and bless them, because they really are blessings and we love them. Thank you guys for listening about the nursery ministry, and thank you for letting me share about the nursery ministry, and we'll see you guys soon. Love you guys.
Well, we'll just have to let Lynn know how fantastic she did, right, in all of that. And sure, one of the ladies that serves in a special way through the nursery ministry. And I think in my heart, where much joy comes to the church family, brings a smile to your face just looking at what's going on. As we have the joy of remembering and all the ministry taking place, but also there's the joy of participating. If you look at the text with me, verse 5, Paul says, "I have joy in remembering of you." And then in verse 5, he says, "in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." So there's joy in view that we are participating in all of this. And Lynn shared with how much participation is going on in the nursery ministry, but to be a part of all the serving to one another through the ministry here at our church really brings great joy. Great participation is happening here. I would say it's pretty amazing as we would look at how many people are being a part of what's going on. It's because of the gospel, And it is for the sake of the gospel, is what Paul says here. He says, for your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. The gospel being the truth of Christ going out into the world and the truth of Christ impacting our lives. So with the joy of participating in the gospel work on our mind, Pastor Brent is going to come up and he's going to share about Adventure Club, and he's going to connect it to a little bit about evangelism. So Pastor Brent, go ahead and come share with us.
Well, good morning. Is this on? There we go. Lynn's a tough act to follow. My wife leaned over, like, who has to go up after that? Me. I'll piggyback off of what Lynn said. We really design our ministry so that everyone can participate. Ken's been teaching us about what the life of Christ looks like, and one of the things he was showing us was the Holy Spirit gives gifts to everyone the moment of salvation. And we're to use all those gifts in the church. God has sovereignly assembled this group of believers in this local church. And so we've designed the ministries, like she said, where you're not always in nursery all the time to free you up to use your gifts in other places. And so nobody gets overwhelmed with nursery. That can be very sanctifying, yeah, but so can the other ministries. It's not just Sunday morning nursery, right? There's nursery Wednesday nights when that ministry is going on as well, and so we ask people to participate that way. And then Ken mentioned this morning, even during the Sunday morning Sunday school, there's the nursery and the toddler ministry going on. But if you go up and you just pick one or two days, then we get it covered. We get it covered, and it's wonderful to see the whole body of Christ working that way. Okay, so Lynn, she's a movie person. I'm a pastor. I kind of have to, like, present things in a three-point alliterated outline, so that's what we're going to do. We are celebrating all that God has done in our Wednesday night ministries. I mean, we immediately think of Awana, and, you know, we'll probably not fully know all that God has accomplished through Wednesday night ministry till we get to heaven, and we will celebrate him for all eternity for all the work that he's done. But now we're starting a new adventure, and I'm wearing this shirt. It's a leader shirt. I rarely wear t-shirts to church because I'm like a collared shirt kind of guy, but I'm like, you can do it one Sunday. Wear your t-shirt. So let me show you the back. So you'll be seeing a lot of people walking around in these shirts Wednesday night. Those are your Adventure Club leaders. The greatest adventure in life is, and if you filled in the blank, and I went around and asked people, kind of like Ken did with us, like, well, the Christian life is, well, we would get all kinds of different answers, because people associate adventure with whatever is adventurous to them. But in John 17:3, when Jesus was praying to his Father, he said, and this is life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So we're going to let God tell us what the greatest adventure in life is, and it's knowing God. This whole curriculum of Adventure Club this year is knowing God, all right? So in the same way, I'm taking a page out of Ken's book, that he had us talk about, well, this is what I think the new life is, or this is what I think the Christian life is, this is what I think the Christian life is. And then he said, well, let's go to the Word of God and see what God says is the Christian life, because he gets to define what the Christian life is. In the same way, I've kind of noticed over the years that on Wednesday night, everybody's got their own idea about Wednesday night's supposed to be about. You know, oh, I like Wednesday night because I get to see my friends. Well, yeah, that happens here. But we could all gather at Baskin-Robbins and meet with our friends. So there's got to be something more going on Wednesday night than that. Or, you know, for some people it's like, hey, I can put my kids in a wholesome setting and then we can go out. And like, well, that's wonderful, but I got to tell you, that's not what Wednesday night is for. We will all want to be on the same page. So let me give you three E's, okay? The first one's exaltation. And Ken's been reading from Psalm 145, that we extol the name of the Lord. Wednesday night is a worship service. Wednesday night is a worship service. We come to exalt God by studying His Word. We're even going to open with singing, you know, corporate singing. Why just Sunday for the corporate singing? So we'll open with a couple of songs on Wednesday night. The whole church will gather and we'll exalt God. You know, I was thinking about calling it Exaltation Club, but I don't think that banner would like draw people in. Then I was thinking, well, maybe we'll call it Sanctification Club, but that would probably scare people away too. So we call it Adventure Club because we are trying to draw people in who don't know God. So let me go to the second E, exposition. We could call it Exposition Club. Yeah, you know, that word means a lot to us, expository preaching, exposition. Here's what the word means, exposition. What word do you see inside the word exposition? Expose. We go to the Word of God and let it expose the truth. Right? We can't know anything about God unless He reveals Himself to us, and He has in His Word. So this new program, Adventure Club, different than our old program, which put a lot of focus on a handbook, this focuses every night we come in, everybody looks at the same passage, no matter what age you are, and expose the truth of God about who God is and what He's done, right? Because everybody's walking around with their own thoughts about who God is, and often they're wrong thoughts. And so we're teaching the kids that all the truth has to come from God's Word. And you'll be able to go home, and all your kids will have heard the same passage, right? So on your way out today on the back, the communion table, your sacrificial giving paid for this devotion book. I was able to write a nightly devotion for your family for each of the lessons. It didn't come with the program, but thank you for freeing me up to have the time to do that. And Ruth printed this out. One per family, right? You can go home and extend the lesson into your home. It'll tell you what passage we read, what the passage means, and some follow-up questions. All right, so there's two E's. The last one is edification and evangelism. Oh, see, that's an old pastor's trick. You just combine two words, and really you get a four-point sermon, but you can call it a three-point sermon. But we're talking about evangelism and discipleship. That's what's really going on Wednesday night. I don't know which kids in our church are truly saved. God knows that. So we preach the gospel every Wednesday night. In fact, all of us need to hear the gospel all the time. Here's a big part you can play on Wednesday night. We want you to be inviting friends here. We invited the school families here. I think there's going to be a lot of unbelieving families here. Okay, so get out of your old routine on Wednesday night and get into a new routine where you are looking for somebody that you don't recognize to welcome and to sit with, buddy up with. Invite them to stay. Ken's going to be teaching the adults in the back of the church, so don't let them walk out to the parking lot and take off. Say, stay, sit with me. We're going to open our Bibles and we're going to find out about this amazing God who created us. And it's a very evangelistic focus, this program. But it's also an edification focus. I know you know who the one true God is. But like me, you forget. And you start making God into your own image throughout the day. And so it's a reset button for us to edify one another. All right? So Exaltation Club, Exposition Club, Edification and Evangelism Club, Adventure Club. Doesn't that sound like a great adventure? Edification. Good. Well, join us all on Wednesday night. We'll see you there. Thanks.
Thank you, Pastor Brent. Next in our little outline here, if you hang with me here, is the joy of perfecting. We've already heard about the joy of remembering, and Paul says, as I remember you, I have this joy, and that joy is in view of your participating, and then now that joy is in view of your perfecting work of God in your life. It's maturing in Christ. Look what he says in verse 10. He says this, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." That's our maturing in Christ-likeness. That's our confidence is in God. It's in the Lord. We don't know where God's at work in the lives of these little ones that come. We know he desires to. We want to just be conduits, avenues of God's love and grace through Jesus Christ and him to use us to minister to their hearts. You know, we know that God is at work in this world, and he's at work in maturing and perfecting us in our walk with the Lord. We know that. And so there's great joy in to see that our confidence is in him, not in us, that as we as his church apply ourselves, as we apply ourselves to learning the truth of his word, as we apply ourselves to living it, the Lord will grow our faith in all the areas of life. And we know when we fail to apply it, we fail to pay attention to it, God is using that, even some of the hard things in our life, to bring us to the point of sanctification. As Paul had prayed in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, we do the same thing. He said this to that church, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass." He is faithful. This is what God is doing at work in the church. He's perfecting the body of Christ, sanctifying, maturing us in our journey to our heavenly kingdom, where we certainly will be complete in Christ in the way we live our lives. So much of the ministry here at Living Word Fellowship Church is for the maturing of the saints, for us maturing and growing to be Christ-like, and our change and growth together always brings joy. We were talking about that in this morning's class. So Pastor Craig, he's going to come up and just share a little bit with us about our focus last year and in the year to come regarding the ministry of maturing in Christ.
Decided to do something a little different with our Sunday school classes. And one of the reasons is, you know, you can know about God, and we can study to know him. And one of the things that we've sort of been thinking about in the church today is we have a lot of people that say they're believers, but they don't know how to apply the word to their life. They know what the Bible says, but they've never really applied it to their life. And it makes me think in Matthew 7, around 21, when all these people came to Jesus, said, "Hey, we did this, we did that, we did this, and we went to church, and we did it." And he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And then after that, in 24, he discussed the thing that when you hear the word of God, you need to act upon it. You don't just hear it, you have to act upon it. And so we're trying to put a little more focus in the James 1:22 about being a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And it's so dangerous that God says that if you hear the word and don't do it, so say we're listening to a sermon, but then we don't apply the sermon to our life, we begin to walk in a form of deception. And the deception usually takes the form of not being involved in the church. It usually takes the form of not being a spiritual leader at home. It usually takes the form of not being an honorable wife. It usually takes the form of being a complainer and a grumbler. It has all these forms it takes, and they're all forms of deception, because I heard the word of God, but I never acted upon it. And so our focus right now in our Sunday school classes is, okay, here's what God's word says. How do you act upon it? What's it mean to deny yourself? It starts with that one. What's it really mean to deny yourself? You know, most people struggle with even understanding what that means. Or they'll say, "Well, I hardly ever think of myself." I doubt it. But so that's kind of the focus. It's sort of our job as elders is to equip the saints, not just to teach them, to equip them. There's a difference, and I'd say I never really understood this problem until we started doing a lot of counseling. There's so many people that'll say they're Christians, but they don't apply the word to their life, and they have marriage problems. They have relationship problems, they have reconciliation problems, they have problems with following the Lord through trials. It's really heavy. My daughter, been thinking about her, sharing with her. She got shingles in the eye, and she can't take any medicine because she's 4 weeks pregnant. And so she's really suffering and really painful, and she's getting boils up here, and her eye's all blown up. And I told her, I said, now just think about this. You're in a lot of pain. It's temporary. Can you imagine having this kind of pain and then being rejected and then have weeping and gnashing of teeth and then have it for all eternity and never being able to die? I said, I think God's trying to give us through our pain sometimes a real heart for the lost and to be a light through our suffering in a way that really represents Christ in a way it only does when you know him and you're willing to follow him through your suffering. And so I just would encourage you to get involved in class. It's great to listen to sermons, get great teaching, all that kind of stuff. But to start applying it to your life is what will change your life. The hearing's great, but the doing is what affirms it in your heart and gives you the confidence to follow the Lord through every situation in life. Thank you.
You know, you think of what Pastor Craig said, and let me just encourage you, the joy of change. Sometimes we don't embrace change like God wants us to. Life of faith is changing. You know, we kind of get settled into things we get settled in, and we're looking to find some point to just kind of lay in or relax in or that kind of thing. But the life with the Lord is a life of change, and there's no greater joy in the life of married couple or the life of a family or the life of the church when we see the Lord at work and we're confident it's the Lord, that the good work that he started in us, he will perfect. It's really an assurance of salvation. It really brings a confidence in the Lord when you see the Lord at work in your life changing you. Maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's an action. But what Pastor Craig brought up, it's really saying, Lord, help me apply the implications to your truth to my life, and then the Lord by his power will bring the transformation of us to be Christ-like, and even if what Pastor Brent was talking about, even the salvation to others. So thank you, Craig, for sharing on that. The last one is the joy of affection. Look at our text, verse 7 and 8. To have true love for one another being lived out in our church has a tremendous impact on our joy. We would all agree, just like it did Paul, listen to what he had to say. He said, for it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You know, God is our witness. God witnesses everything, you guys. God's our witness for the affection in Christ lived out within this church family. He's our witness. I'm glad each one of us see it. I'm glad each one of us experience it. I'm glad that God uses that to minister to us. But God knows each and every one of our hearts, and he witnesses our affection for one another. And by his work to bring his joy to our life in the midst of all those kind of things, that love and affection that is expressed through the body of Christ. It's foundational to the church family. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 explains it very well. It says where it says, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you. So there's much joy for the body of Christ that chooses to love each other. Bobby Beach is going to come up and she's going to share with us about the dynamic of the spiritual mothering ministry and with the affection of that ministry. Bobby, it's your turn. There you are. I was looking for you. Right here.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, just for the encouragement today and just listening to each one who was sharing. What a foundation that the Holy Spirit put together as we're each sharing, that the ministries that are going on that we're involved with are based on the Word of God. And a few weeks ago, I was up here inviting you to come to Spiritual Mothering, telling you when those days were, but I really didn't touch on the foundational biblical basis of why we do Spiritual Mothering. So I just want to add a little background to that. First of all, Spiritual Mothering is actually a book. It was written by Susan Hunt, and she was a young wife and a young mom. in a new church that her husband was pastoring, and within just a few months, she was asked to organize and lead and encourage the women of the church to get together and carry out that Titus II mandate. And she was a young wife and mom, and she really didn't know what to do, but she really began to pray, and she asked God to help her see how this was going to work out. And so over the years, as she worked with that ministry and the women were excited about it, that really surprised her that the older women and the younger women were really excited. And so through the years, as she began to really work in that ministry, their whole church, the whole church denomination that they belonged to, asked her to come and present that to the other women in the churches. And she began to realize at that time, this is something that some of the churches really don't know how to do, and thus the book Spiritual Mothering. And so I just want to read to you one of the foundational passages out of Psalm 78 that she shared right at the beginning. And it says, "Listen, my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will tell riddles of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from the children." And listen to this. This really touched my heart. "But we will tell them to the generations to come, the praises of the Lord and his power and his wondrous works that he has done." And this was just a beautiful picture of what I see happening in our church. "So the next generation will know them, even the children unborn." What an exciting thing to think that we're going to have involvement in the lives of the children yet to be born. That's God's work. You know, how he implements that. "And that they would know and put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." Perfect explanation for spiritual mothering, isn't it? Just a beautiful example from his word of what he calls us to do. One of the other passages that Susan used for the spiritual mothering book was out of Titus 2, 1 through 4. And that first verse really kind of sets the foundation, and it says, "But as for you," and how many of us are a you? "As for you, proclaim the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Exactly what every one of the teaching has been about today is the importance of sound doctrine in our lives, that we don't get carried away with wives' fables or something that we kind of feel, but there is a foundational word for it. I really love that. That's our purpose, right, in spiritual mothering, is to do that. And then that passage goes on and gives instructions, specifically older men, because I'm speaking to the women for spiritual mothering. I'm not going to get into that one this morning, but I am going to give you the instruction that was given to women. And it says, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, but teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." Now, I can hear that question kind of roaming out there, but Miss Bobby, I'm not married. I don't have children. How does this verse apply to me? Well, let's go back to verse 1. What did that say? Do we remember? It says, "But as for you," God knows right who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you need more than you even know what you need. So can we trust him as maybe a woman who isn't married or a woman who doesn't have children? Can we trust the God who created us? I love that song, "The Ancient of Days." He knows exactly what we need. Can we trust him to carry out this mandate? "But as for you, proclaim the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Can we do that right where he's put us, right in the circumstance that we're in? We can, right? We can. Because this passage was out of Titus, and the message of Titus is that sound doctrine leads to godliness. God has promised us that if we stand on his word, we believe his word, we live his word out, it will lead to godly lives. Do we stumble sometimes? Absolutely. But that's what repentance is about. In our spiritual mothering class, we've had two spiritual mothering classes so far this month and two to go, and I'll talk about those in a minute. But in our own spiritual mothering class this month, we were reading a passage out of Ecclesiastes 7:29, and it says, "Behold, I have found only this, that God made men upright, but they have sought out other devices." God, through Christ Jesus, has made us as believers upright, but we get carried away when we take our eyes off of Christ, when we do other things. And we had a great example of that when Linda borrowed the little balloon man from Ian, and so she turned that on. You know the balloon man who's at the car dealerships, and he's going like this, and he's wiggling. And after a minute, he kind of starts to droop down and fall, and then suddenly he comes back up again. And in our group, we were talking about what a practical picture that is of our lives in Christ, isn't it? We're upright, God has made us upright, and then something takes our eyes off. One of those devices that we talked about distracts us from the truth of the Word of God, and we begin to go down. But the Spirit of God brings conviction through his word, and we repent. And then what happens? With that feeling, we're upright again. So I just want to, you know, I just want to encourage you that in our class, it was such a great thing. We had single women who aren't married, have no children. We had young moms with some of their babies were there. We had middle-aged moms. We had old moms there. And what a delight it was as I looked out among that group and I saw the teaching that was going on and the interaction with those women with each other. And I thought, God, it just brought me to tears. I thought, God, this is exactly what we prayed about all those years with spiritual mothering that was happening. I know it happened in the group that met the week before and in this group. So I can just anticipate that it's going to be taking place throughout all of the spiritual mothering classes. And one last thing that I just want to encourage you with, I know that we are busy. We have so many ministries going on in church. And I know as I was hearing the nursery ministry and the Adventure Club ministry, and if God hadn't directed my path this year for my ministries, I'd be right in there going, yeah, give me that one and let me do this. God has a different direction for me, teaching on Tuesday mornings with the little kids. But, God has a special place for each one of us. And we just have to discern and look for his truth in that. I wanted to just talk with, say, the young moms right now. I was a young mom once. I remember how hard it is when you've got those littles running around. They're busy, and you have to be chasing them. And sometimes it's hard to find times to study the Bible, much less study a book. So I want to encourage you, don't make spiritual mothering about the book. Our spiritual mothering classes aren't just sitting there and discussing the book. Those spiritual mothering classes are actually about taking those verses that are in that book and how it applies to our life as we struggle in various places. And we talk about those applications and we talk about how we can encourage each other and how God has encouraged us through those. So I just would say, if that's a struggle right now in your life with littles, grab the study guide. This is a wonderful study guide. It takes all of the questions in the back of each chapter, and there is a plethora of verses in here. If you don't have time to read the book, just open it up to the first chapter or the second chapter and just circle a verse here, a verse here, a verse here, and make that your devotional, because I can tell you that when you get to that class, that once a month class, you're going to be right where everyone else is. You're going to know those verses. You're going to have studied them. You're going to have applied them to your life. And you're going to be right in with the conversation, whether you have had the time that month to read the book or not. So don't let not reading the book keep you from participating in spiritual mothering. And one last thing I would just like to share is a passage out of 3 John 1:4. And I know most of you know this, and it just says, there is no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in truth. Oh, that just, you know, when I hear of my children and they've shared with someone, or spiritual children, that passage in John 3 was actually written to Gaius, who was a spiritual child of John. And he was so excited to hear of the wonderful work that was going on in Gaius's life. And I can't tell you there's nothing greater than either my own children or a spiritual child. When I hear, I get a note from them, or I hear, or they call me and they say, I just have to tell you what God did in my life this week. It's nothing that I had to do with. It was God in their life. So I would encourage you, get involved in a spiritual mothering group just for the fellowship, for the encouragement, for the word that God's going to bring to you. And we have two more classes this month left. We have one this coming Thursday here at the church at 10 o'clock, and we have one the following Thursday at 10 o'clock in Springville. So grab a study guide if you don't have the book and read a few of those scriptures. You're going to be caught up. I looked for study guides this morning, and we're currently out, but just let me know, and I will make sure we get one to you. So just, you know, do that. I was thinking as I was listening to the music this morning, thank you for the praise ministry. There was a song that I've heard recently by Cece Winans, and it says, "All of my life you have been faithful. I will sing of the goodness of God." And that's what that passage in Psalm 78 is talking about, sharing the goodness of God with all of those children that are not here even yet, as we press that down, pass that down to generation. So thank you, ladies. Join spiritual mothering.
Well, I know all of us are encouraged this morning and thinking about the joy of the Apostle Paul that he had with these ministries going on and through the remembering and participating and the growth and maturity and just the affection going on. Same thing here, and we have joy for that and are grateful for what God is doing. Let's close with prayer, and this is our prayer. Look at verses 9 through 11, what Paul said next after all of this. And I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus. It's a progressive thing that, Lord, we come before you with a heart of gratitude to pray to you that all of this ministry going on here, which can be encapsulated in the love abounding in our life, the love of Christ controlling us, the love of God shed abroad in our heart, that new life that we have in Christ that loves God, that loves his word, that loves others, that loves the lost, that loves the truth of your word, Lord, that just lives its life out, embracing the things that your word tells us in front of us. May that abound more and more. It's healthy for the church family to abound in, but we know it's impactful to the world that we live in, the love of Christ is. The truth of that love, and we would want you, Lord, to use it in mightily in the people's lives around us and the people that we come across, and they would see the love of Christ. It transformed every one of us in this room. It gave us faith to put our trust in Christ and all his work, and may it abound in our lives, Lord. We thank you for our time together after church today to partake in a meal together, to fellowship. We praise you, Lord, for all that you've done through this last year. And know, Lord, that you go before us, that you go before us in this next year. We trust in that. Our confidence is in that. Help us learn how to follow and embrace the work that you have for us for your glory. Lord, always our good in Christ's name. Amen. So let's go outside and have a little picnic lunch under the tables. And like I said, if you forgot food, get a couple pieces of pizza. Let's hang out for a little bit.